Lord, for his faithfulness to us. We often say, I am determined to go to heaven, whatever it takes, whatever I have to deal with, whatever I have to go through, we got to make it. Alternative, as we talked about in Sunday school, is really not something we want to even deal with, do, is it? So let's pray that the Lord helps us to be faithful. And I desire that you'd pray for me and with me as we share with you the Word of God. We want to turn to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to deal with the Christmas story to one extent. I think it's an appropriate time for us to refresh ourselves from the greatest story ever told of Jesus being born and coming here to save us and to die on a cross. I thank the Lord for that. Let us turn to first chapter of Luke, and I want to start reading at the 26th verse. If you have it, you might read it for us. We want to deal with the gift exchange today. Talk about gift exchange. All right?
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God
to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, I want us to make a note here that the angel Gabriel was sent from God. So this was a very important point, that the message that the Lord wanted to send to his people. He said the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So he's giving the blessings, and these blessings are coming directly from the Lord. Now, that would be something special that you have standing in front of you, an angel that has been in the presence of God. And this angel is coming from God, from the presence of God, to you, a special person. You didn't think anything very special. Mary didn't think herself to be a very special person. She was a humble young girl. And here is the angel of the Lord coming and saying, blessed of the Lord, and the blessings from the Lord, and you're highly favored. That would be something quite dramatic, wouldn't it? Read.
And when she saw him,
she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Don't be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't that wonderful that here's an angel? What is he coming to me for? I'm afraid. What is this salutation about? What is he saying to me? I hear what he's saying, but this is something that's extraordinary. And so he says, Don't be afraid. I've got something from God for you. All right?
And behold,
thou shalt conceive in thy womb,
and bring forth a son,
and shall call his name Jesus.
He shall be great.
He shall be called the Son of the Highest.
The Lord God
shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
He shall reign
over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Do you know that Mary was chosen of the Lord to be a blessing to the entire world? She was chosen of the Lord. And you know, when I say chosen, not only was she chosen, but I believe she could have declined it. She could have said, No, I don't want any part of that. The Lord doesn't force anything on anybody. All right, so I believe as the Lord presents himself to us, and as he says to us, I want to give you the blessings of my son, my dear son. I want to give you the gift of my dear son. Then I think we have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I'll receive this gift, or no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So here Mary says, and Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, have your way in my life. if this is what you want, I know that there may be some reproach that goes along with me being a virgin and I'm with child. I know that there may be some reproach there, but Lord, here is your handmaid, and you be it unto you even as you have said. I want to do your will. This is what you and I, when we are presented with what God presents to us, that He in essence says, here's my son, I want to give him as a gift to you. You can say to him, Lord, have your way in my life. Here's your handmaid. Here's your servant, Lord. Here's the one that you have chosen to give this gift and to take care of it. Do you realize that you have to take, when the Lord gives you of the Son of God, you have to take care of that? Do you know what the scripture says in Isaiah speaks? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now what happens when a child is born, if you have little babies that are born, it is your responsibility to make certain that that child is cared for. Everything that it needs to survive, everything that it needs to grow, is your it's the parent's responsibility. The one that has been given the responsibility of that child, it is your responsibility to make certain that that child thrives. When the Spirit of the Lord, when the child, Jesus Christ, is presented to us and given to you and me as a gift, and the Lord, you come to a service like this, and you come at home, and you are the Lord is talking to you, that child is given for your redemption. And you know what? You've got to take care of it. You know, if you do not maintain your salvation, it's going to die. What the Lord is. He's our salvation. All right. I want us to turn to Matthew, the first chapter. I want to begin reading the 18th verse. All right. This is a refresher course, you might say. We've heard this, but you know, one of the things that I've noticed in I've been out shopping. A lot of it is against my will, but I've been out shopping. Most of it. 90% of it is against my will. When I went to Home Depot, that wasn't against my will, but the rest of it was. So you have all these snowmen, you have Santa Claus, you have all these things, but you don't have, you know, have you noticed how they're saying Happy Holidays, not Merry Christmas so much anymore? Happy Holidays. They're really wanting to take Christ out of Christmas. This has been happening for a long time. And so what I feel that we need from time to time when we come to a service like this, and this is a service for Eve of Christmas Eve, we need to be reminded of what the reason for the season, as Brother Sherman brought out. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we need sometimes a refresher course that we say, you know what, Lord, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. Read. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This was quite a man, wasn't it? You know, this was a man that, you know, this is a woman that I'm about to marry, and we find her with child. And she is not to be with child, and so he's going to put her away, and nobody knows it, and I don't have to marry her. But then what happens here? But he thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now I want to say this to us, that Joseph had a choice, even after the Lord spoke to him. Joseph had a choice to whether or not to take Mary and whether or not to take care of this child that really wasn't his, but it was his. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't his in the flesh, but unto him a child was born. Unto him a son was given. God trusted this man enough for this man to be able to take this little baby that is really the Son of God and raise it as his own. I wonder what it was like to have Jesus saved, sanctified, little baby without any carnal. I wonder, he didn't cry until he needed to. Can you imagine that? When you laid him down to go to sleep, he went to sleep. I can only imagine that. He didn't have this carnal where when he got mad and his back all arching back, he didn't do all of that. Like we have the babies that do it nowadays. But you know, I wonder what it would be like to be given the gift of this little baby that is the Son of God. I wonder if we can just really say all babies really are sons of God. And it's our duty that the Lord has given us, it's our duty to train them up in the way that God would have them to it so that we can give them back to God. Lord, help us. All right, read.
Now all this was done
that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Jesus, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He followed the instruction that the Lord had given him to call his name Jesus. So he says here that she shall bring forth the son, very familiar text of scripture for us, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now you know, this is the greatest gift of all. The whole purpose of Jesus being born was to be crucified and to die to save me from my sins. To save you from your sins. You know, all of us have experienced sin at some point in our lives. And we were in a place that we thought we were living a life. I did in some ways. But there was always this background. There's something in the background, in the back of my mind, that I was very displeased with. It wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't satisfying until I really met the Lord and I knew what it's all about. And you know, I have trials, I have tests, I have problems that I go through, but do you know what? One of them isn't that I have to sin more or less every day. I thank the Lord for that. I don't have the struggle because I have accepted the gift of the Son of God. I've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. I've accepted it, and it has saved me from my sins, not in them. I thank the Lord for that. I believe that you can live a righteous and a holy life by the grace and by the power and the strength of God. You have to want to do it. If you don't want to live like that, you can't live like that. But if you want to, Lord, I want to go as deep as I possibly can in the things of God. And I want to live the kind of a life that you died for me to live. Whatever that is, Lord, I want to live that life. I want to go to the very depth of it. And by the grace of God, He'll take you there. He'll take you there. All right? So, I want to say here, this is the gift that God, and this is the reason for the season. And you know, I think that it's a good time of year that we come together and you really find that people at this time are more jovial, jolly, and they seem to be a little more happy. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it's a good time of the year. You get together with your family, you eat food, you exchange gifts to those that you love and those that you care about. You give them gifts and they give you gifts as well. And there's something about it. I know that this is overly commercialized and all that kind of thing, but I believe that the Lord can use that even when we as people of God, we send out little Christmas cards. Those Christmas cards don't have snowmen on them. Excuse me. They shouldn't. Unless they have a message about Jesus. All right? It don't need Santa Claus and have a happy holiday. No, you need. If you're going to send out Christmas cards, send some out that say something. Send them out that makes people to know and understand the reason for this season. I'm not against going out and making a snowman. We don't have snow here. But listen, don't you buy into what's being bought out into in this world. You make certain that you keep the focus of what this season is all about. All right, so you can go to the Christian bookstore. They got some good ones. I went there. Got a few of them. And you send them out. And this may be an opportunity to tell some folks that don't maybe not know so much about the Lord. They may be able to tell the story to them. All right? So, we have this gift exchange. Y'all go to on jobs, and I'm not working on a public job. Used to have secret Santas. Y'all have that? Or gifts exchange. You pull a name and you give us a gift. You buy a gift and you put a budget on it, generally. Well, $20 or under, $10 or under. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you know who you're going to be buying for. But they don't know who's buying. You know Jesus knew who he was buying for?
though we didn't know it, before we even knew it, he knew what gift he was going to give. Scripture says in John 3:16, God gave a gift. It said, for God so loved the world. And generally, what do? We give gifts to people that we love, don't we? People that we care about. We give them gifts. And God so loved you and I that he gave. He looked into heaven and he said, what is the best gift that I could give them? And he said, the one that I have is a part of myself, and that's my only begotten son. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son as a gift to us. And then once he gave, he asked, I don't know what kind of conversation there was in heaven, but I believe the Lord searched and he couldn't find a man to stand in the gap, the scripture says. But he found Jesus, and Jesus was willing to come down and condescend. What did the song that they just sing? What man gave up his son for us? Only one did that. And he came down and he gave his only begotten son so that you could live. And this is why it's so important for you when the Lord deals with your heart, when the Lord shows you that you need to give your heart to him. This is why it's so important, because he got the best gift that he could possibly give and he gave it to you. And it's up to you whether or not you accept it. Alright? Alright, so we'll go a little further here. Now I want to read John 10. 10, let's start with that verse. Now Jesus, God gave his son, but that was only a part of it, shall I say. Because what Jesus had to do was give his life. He gave his son, and now his son had to give something. All right, let's start at John 10, verse 10.
The thief comes not
but
for to steal,
and to kill,
and to destroy.
I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
I am the good shepherd.
The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. God gave his son, Jesus, gave his life for you and me. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Let's think of how important that is, that this is, what is it that means the most to us? Our lives. And Jesus gave his life as a ransom for you and for me, because he knew that if he didn't do it, he knew what the consequence of our lives would be. All right? So he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Drop down to 17.
Therefore
doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So in other words, he's saying, I'm willing to give my life. No man is going to take it away from me, because no man really had the power to do it. Jesus, when he was on the cross, could have called for 10,000 angels to come and destroy the world and set him free, the song says. He could have done it. There was not any nail or any authority, any man, any authority on this earth that could have held him to the cross. It was the commandment that he had received from his Father, and he willingly gave his life. No man took it away from him. He allowed it. He laid it down, and he allowed them to take his creation. He allowed them to take his life from him, because he was doing it for them. Lord, help us. All right. So we see the gifts. And have you ever been given a gift, and you maybe last year somebody gave you, you gave them a little token gift, and they gave you a very expensive gift? Have you ever done that? And you just got, I just got them something. I didn't know they were going to go through all that trouble to get all this. So now this year you want to give them something a little bit nicer. And they might give you a token gift because of what you did last year. Keep within the budget. Keep within the budget. So you want to give them something a little bit more because of what they gave you, right? So when we do this, what do? Let's turn to Micah, the 6th chapter, 6th verse. Have it read it, please.
Micah 6:10.
Yes.
Wherewith shall I come before the Lord?
And bow myself before the high God. And bow myself before the high God. What shall I give? Have you ever been curious about what to give a certain person for the gift?
I don't know. So you're in the stores, and you can stay in the stores for a very long time looking for just the right gift to give. And so here is, he said, what shall I, what, wherewith thou shall I come before the Lord? What shall I give him? All right, read.
Burnt offerings.
Calf of a year old.
Will he be pleased with 1,000 rams?
10,000 rivers of oil. What shall I give him? I give him all these sacrifices. I can do all these things. But what is really the best thing for me to give him? All right.
Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions?
Fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
He has showed thee, O man,
what's good.
And what does the Lord require of thee?
But to do justly,
love mercy,
and walk humbly with thy God. So you are concerned about all these things that you have to give. Lord, what is it that you would want from me? What shall I give to you, Lord? And oftentimes, he's already given us the very best that he had, and our responsibility is to give the very best that we have. And what would that be? What is it that the Lord wants? Have you ever had someone to say, I've got a wish list, and this is what I want for Christmas? Don't bring me something I don't want. Don't bring me something I didn't ask for. I don't need any more of this, and I don't need any more of that. I've got plenty of that. What I want is this. And you write a little list. I remember when children in particular, our children were younger, they had little lists and stuff that they wanted, the certain things, certain toys that they had desired to have. And we were trying to accommodate them, and we were trying to give them some of the things that they desired. And you know, the Lord has a list too. He doesn't want 1,000 rivers of oil. He doesn't want a lot of burnt offerings and sacrifices. Those things we can give without giving of ourselves. But what he wants to give us is to do justly. Just do right. Live right. Live right around your fellow man. When they're around you, don't be like what some of the Christians are nowadays. Oh, are you a Christian? Well, you sure don't act like one. We've been in situations like that. Do right by your neighbor. Do right by your coworker. Do right by your family. As I say often, your family should be able to witness that you really are a man or a woman of God. If they can't give you a good, solid bill of health, then there is something wrong with your experience. And so what the Lord says, I don't want you giving me all these things, doing all these sacrifices for me, and buying me all of these gifts, and doing all of these things. I want you to do right. I want you to do justly. Right? To love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. You know what? To love mercy, there has to be a spirit of forgiveness that you have to have. You've got to be willing to forgive some folks in order to have mercy on them. Like sometimes, have you ever been in situations where sometimes you felt like they got just what they deserved? And I ain't doing nothing for them. They got what they deserve. Lord, have mercy on you. Did you get what you deserve? Did the Lord give you, did he give any of us what we deserve? The Lord's mercies are new every morning. He gives us a gift of mercy. He doesn't go by what we did yesterday. The Lord is merciful to us, and what is required of his people is for us to be merciful one to another. And so in order to be merciful, you have to have a spirit of forgiveness all the time, or else you're not going to be able to be merciful in some situations. Folks will do you wrong. And the gift to them is mercy. The gift to them is, as a Christian, I'm giving what the Lord Jesus Christ gave to me. I'm just re-gifting. It's something that was given to me, so I'm giving it to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. To do right, the Lord did right by me. And so I'm going to do right by you. And so I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Let me tell you, in order to do right and to do justly, there must be a spirit of humility as well. Lord, help me to be humble, to humble myself and just do right here. Because I really feel like letting them have a piece of my mind. That's not what the Lord did, is it? I feel like letting them know how the cow chewed the cabbage. Lord, help us. Be merciful. Do right. All right? What does it say? And walk humbly with thy God. This is his gift. This is what he wants. Walk humbly with our God. Do right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with our God. Do you know what? Sometimes
I've told my family, I really, in all honesty, I really don't want a whole, I don't want you to spend a whole lot of money for Christmas. I already bought what I want for Christmas. I already know what I want. I should have bought it a long time ago. A cordless drill, that's what I got. Should have got it a long time ago. I've been using that thing. I say a man needs a truck and a drill. That's true. I really come to that. Lord help us. I'm going to go on down here a little bit more. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 13. Pray for us. All right. Yes. Samuel said,
what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep
that I hear? He's talking to Saul, because the Lord had told Saul what to do, and Saul had decided that he didn't have to do that, that he could make some adjustment in what the Lord required of him. And do you know what? A lot of folks are like Saul, and if we're not careful, we'll be like him too. We'll be just like, Lord, I did everything that you, as far as I'm concerned, I did everything that you told me to do. And he said, well, if you did everything that the Lord told you to do it, whether you thought it was the right thing or not, you did everything that the Lord told you to do, why do I hear the bleeding of the sheep? All right, read.
And the loin of the oxen which I hear.
And the loin of the oxen which I hear.
Saul said,
and it's not my fault, by the way, even though I'm the one in authority, even though the buck stops with me, even though the Lord gave me the commandment, I let them do this, and therefore I'm not to be responsible. I'm not the responsible party, is what he's saying. All right, read.
People spared the best of the sheep
and of the oxen
to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God,
and the rest we did utterly destroy. So they went through and they determined what was a sacrifice anyway? A sacrifice was, what do you do? What do they do with the lambs and the oxen when they sacrifice them? What do? Help me out. They kill them. So now he saved them to kill them? To sacrifice them to the Lord? When the Lord told him to sacrifice them when he was over there with the Amalekites? Do you know that we can justify in our minds something that we want to do that we think is better than what God has told us to do? And if we're not careful, we'll disobey God because we don't think God knows what he's doing or what he's talking about. The Lord told them to sacrifice, and now you're going to sacrifice them the way that you want them sacrificed, or you're going to sacrifice them the way the Lord told you to sacrifice them. All right, read.
Then
Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Now I want to hear, what was one of the things that was required? That the one of the gifts that the Lord wants, he wants you to walk humbly with thy God. All right? Wasn't the sacrifices, it wasn't the thousand rivers of oil, it wasn't burnt offerings, it wasn't any of that. He said, I just want you to walk humbly with your Lord. And now he says here to Saul, he says, and when you were little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Now, here's what I want us to understand. If you want to be exalted in the sight of the Lord, the best way to do it is to be humble. Walk humbly with the Lord. If you're looking to the Lord, Lord, I want higher heights and deeper depths. The way to do it is to give him what he's asking for. The exchange of the gift is, Lord, I want to have a humble spirit and a contrite heart. You won't despise that. And so he says, when you were little, I exalted you up to a high place when you were humble and you were submitted to me and you obeyed me like a child, and you did it not because you had thought in your mind that this was the best, that you knew better, but you did it because this is what I told you to do. I exalted you. And the Lord will do the same for us as long as we stay there. All right? I anointed the king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. The Lord had a purpose for doing this to the Amalekites. And the Lord used him as a vessel and messenger to the Amalekites. And he was to follow the message that the Lord gave him. Lord, help us to be obedient to what the Lord shows us
and gives us understanding of what he requires and he desires, not what we think is best. All right? Wherefore?
Wherefore
then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But you flew upon the spoil, and you did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now you did all this, and you felt, and the Lord was supposed to be happy with you, and all you did was disobey him, because you thought was you exalted your knowledge. You exalted yourself against the knowledge of God. God said, "Do this." You thought that wasn't the best thing to do, so I'm going to do this. You did almost everything that the Lord told you, but you know what? Almost isn't good enough. Lord, help us. All right. Saul said unto Samuel,
Yea,
I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way that the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed. I did everything that the Lord said it that sent me to do, but the people took of the spoil. This is not my fault. All I did is I saved Agag because we had an affinity. This was a king. I'm a king, and I understand. I wouldn't want him to kill me, so I'm going to save him too. That's not what the Lord told you to do. And you are the authority, so therefore you are the responsible party. You know, something that happens in a man's home, he can't blame his wife when he's the authority. Well, my wife did this. Well, that's what Adam did. We tend to do it too. All we are is little Adams. Well, it was her fault. If she hadn't done this. No, that's not what the Lord said here. We have to be obedient. And Saul said unto Samuel, "You have obeyed the voice of the Lord, have gone the way of the Lord's sent me and brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, read,
Hath the Lord as great delight in
you bringing him these gifts that he didn't ask for. I don't want that. That's not what I asked for. I wanted you to be humble. And I wanted you to obey. The gift that belongs to me is obedience. Obedience is the thing that I can give to the Lord. You can make me comply, but you cannot make me obey. Obedience is an act of the will. It is something that I choose to do. Whether it's difficult or not, I choose to obey. I can comply, but obedience goes deeper than compliance. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so here, this man, Lord, you know what's best. And the Lord didn't want all these sacrifices, because if I'd have wanted the sacrifice, you could have sacrificed them over there in Amalek. With the Amalekites, when I told you to kill them, that's what you should have done. And now you're making justification for your disobedience and saying that it's tainted. The gift is tainted. I don't want it. It's not clean. It's not pure. And so what the Lord wanted was obedience. Do you know we can give him the gift of obedience? And we don't look at what our brothers are doing. We don't look at what everybody else is doing. If y'all want to say that that's between y'all and the Lord, but the Lord told me to kill every one of these things, that's what Saul should have been saying, and every one of them is going to be killed unless y'all kill me first. Then y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. That's between you and the Lord. But obedience is something that is a gift that we give to the Lord. It's ours. The Lord doesn't force us to obey him. He doesn't force us to obey his word. And you know, I think sometimes, I know in weddings, this is a time of giving and whatnot, the ladies register at Target or someplace like that, right? Now, am I right in this? Because I really don't know, but I think this is how it works. They list a lot of things at Target that they like, that they want, right? And it's on their gift list. Am I right in that? And then you can go there and type up their name, and you can buy them the items that they've already pre-chosen, right? And it's all there, and they know exactly what they want, so you're not getting them a white elephant, something that they're going to put up in the closet. You're getting them something that they need. And in the same way, when we ask our children, they ask us, what do you want for Christmas? Well, this and that, you can get me this or that. And so when we get those things, we're not getting something that they're not going to use. Sometimes you get a gift, oh, that's cute, we appreciate the thought, but what am I going to do with this? But this they can use. So in other words, what we tend to do when in this gift exchange, Jesus, God, gave us something that we can use every day. Something that we can not only use today, but tomorrow. It's not just for the old people, It's for young people as well. And it's for middle-aged people. It's something that all of us can use. And so he made certain that what I give to you is everything that you're going to need. He's our all in all. He's everything to me. He's what I need. He's when I'm sick, when I'm depressed, when I'm whatever it is, I can go to Jesus and what I need is there. And that's the gift that he gave me. And then he registered in his Bible and told us what he wanted. So he said, I want you to do right. I want you to love mercy. I want you to walk humbly with your God. I want you to obey. I don't want all these sacrifices. I don't want all these things. And let me tell you, every gift that we give, no matter how small it is or how large it is, there is an element of sacrifice in that gift. Somebody spent some time. Listen, we were out at the mall the other day and spending a lot of time walking, pushing the basket behind your wife. Oh, y'all can do that sometimes. Carrying this, carrying that. You spent some time. We can stay there for hours. All right? So there was some sacrifice in it. I don't know, some of the women probably wasn't much of a sacrifice for them to go out and do a lot of shopping. But you know what? It's a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of thought. It's a sacrifice of money. So in every gift that you give, there is an element of sacrificing. All right? So with the gifts that the Lord gave, there's an element, or the Lord requires of us, there's an element of sacrifice in it, something that we have to do. Lord, help us to be willing to do it. All right? Now, where do we stop here?
Behold,
to obey is better than sacrifice,
and to hearken
than the fat of rams.
For rebellion
is as the sin of witchcraft,
and
stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, if you had stayed humble and you stayed obedient to the Lord, you'd still be king. But the Lord rejected you because you rejected him by your disobedience. You determined in your mind that it was not the best thing to do, even though God is the one that told you to do it. You just said it wasn't the best thing. I'm not going to give you that gift because it costs too much. And it's not necessary. Lord, help us. So obedience is a gift that we can give to the Lord. And it's something that he says, I'd rather have that than all of the burnt offerings and all the sacrifices. I'd rather have your obedience that you can give me out of a pure heart than I would anything else. All right? Yes?
Saul
said unto Samuel,
I have sinned.
Now he's coming clean. He's coming clean. But first of all, you see how he had to wrench it out of him? I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I did what he told me to do. Then he said, when it comes to the Lord, just truth just triumphs, right? You just stand for truth, it triumphs. All right? And Saul said, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. I knew better and I didn't do it because I feared the people. And you did what? Read. I obeyed their voice. So you'd rather do what the people said than God, what God said. You'd rather fear the people than fear God. You obeyed somebody, why didn't you obey God? And so now he's coming clean. Well, I did it, but they kept this and they were putting so much pressure on me because we were up here killing good animals. Well, that's how you sacrifice. You kill good animals. You sacrifice your obedience to the Lord. Lord, help us that we'd be willing to do what is necessary. We're moving to our conclusion. All right? Mark 12, 29. Read it for
him.
Jesus answered him.
The first of all commandments is here.
Yes.
Yes. The Lord our God is one Lord.
So the Lord registered in this word. He made it very clear what he wanted, what gifts he wants from you and I. And if we search them, we can give him exactly what he's asking for and not something that we think he wants. You don't have to question and wonder what he wants. He'll tell you what he wants. All right, read.
Thou
shalt love the Lord thy God
with all thy heart,
all thy soul,
all thy mind,
with all thy strength.
This is the first commandment.
The second is like, namely, this:
thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
There is none other commandment greater than these. So the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is just one Lord. He's just one God, one Lord. He gave himself in exchange for you to give yourself to him. All right? So what he says here, thou shalt love the Lord. So what does he want? What does the Lord want from you this Christmas? What is the Lord requiring from you this Christmas? Love. That you love him with all of your heart. That there is nothing between you and God. That you love your wife, your husband, your house, your car, your job better than him. No, he wants all of you. All of it. That's because he gave you all of him. The exchange that he gave you was that he loved you so much that he came down and he died. He was willing to give his life for you, and now you must be willing to give yours. Man, let me tell you, if you do that, you won't regret it. I don't regret. The deeper the Lord takes me, there is no regrets. I have no regrets. If I were to say I had a regret, it is that I didn't go deeper sooner. Lord help us. All right, so love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So a commandment is to love. The commandment, the gift that the Lord wants. And listen, you can't make nobody love somebody. You can't force it on them. But you know what? The Lord loved us so much. Why do we love him? The scripture says, we love him because he first loved us. So his love drew us to him. He gave the gift of love, and now what we're to do is give him back, Lord. I'm just re-gifting what you gave me. You gave me this love in my heart when you saved me, Lord, and now I'm just giving it back to you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, it's your gift. I don't feel forced to do it. I want to do it. And not only that, but Lord, I want to love my neighbor as I love myself, and I love myself pretty good. And so there's a requirement that the Lord says, if you love yourself that much, you better love somebody else that much too. You better love your neighbors as yourself. This is the great commandment and the second great, and that's the gift. What do you give to the world that is hurting? What do you give? The gift of love. You know, it's wonderful how the folks poured out their heart to the people in Connecticut. I feel so sorry for them, but you know what? The consolation about that situation is those little children. They're better off than we are. They don't have to worry about anything. And people are just pouring out there, giving them gifts and whatnot. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's wonderful. But let me tell you, why do they do that? They do that because if I were in that place, this is what I would want somebody to do for me. And I believe that there is this drive of the love that we have for our fellow man. That there's this drive that causes us to say, I want to reach out and I want to give. Help soothe your pain. Lord, help us. So, love is a gift. Alright. Now, I want to read another that Jesus gave us. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. We're almost done. Appreciate your patience. Charge them that are rich in this world. They be not high-minded. Now, you know what? I don't think it just has to be rich people. There are a lot of folks, poor folks, that have high minds. All right? That they don't trust in uncertain riches.
But in the living God.
In the living God.
Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
That they do good.
That they be rich in good works.
Ready to distribute.
Willing to
communicate.
Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come.
That they may lay hold on eternal life. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? And the only way for us to lay hold on eternal life is for us to do these things. But what did he say that the Lord did? He said he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This breath, this weather, health, mental capacity to go and get a good job. And we're enjoying it. Certain things about that the Lord gave us all of that. It's a gift. What did he say? He said, I want you, the gift that I've given you, I want you to use that for me. I want you to give it back to me. Re-gift it. Alright, so this is this holiday season that we're talking about. Now we're going to move on the last couple of scriptures. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1.
I exhort therefore
that first of all,
supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now let me say this, that this is why we pray for our president and those in leadership position, not just our president, but the Queen of England and David Cameron and all the folks in Ahmadinejad and all them folks all over, Hugo Chavez, is that his name? Down in Venezuela, all right? We pray for them. You know why? Because the decisions that they make affect us, directly or indirectly. Please read.
This is good and acceptable
in the sight of God, our Savior,
who will have all men to be saved
and come unto the knowledge of the truth.
There is one God
and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So he gave himself as a ransom to pay us, to pay for us. You know what, sometimes you have those little gift cards, you ever buy them? Because you don't know really what to get them, go to Walmart. Walmart has everything, get them a gift card. And you paid for it. So all they have to do is swipe it, and they can buy whatever they need. You know Jesus did that for us? He bought, he ransomed us, he paid for it. All right, Titus 2 and 14, we'll be through. Who gave himself for us
that he might redeem
us from all iniquity
and purify
unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no man despise you. So why did he do it? Why did he pay that price, that high price? He said that it was to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So the Lord did it to redeem us from iniquity and purify us. So therefore we don't have to live in sin. Don't have to do it. You don't have to do it unless you want to. If you want to, can't nobody make you not do it. But if you don't want to, the Lord has a gift, the gift of his blood, that he's already redeemed us. If we'll just accept it, we'll just embrace the gift that the Lord has given us, the Lord has made available to us, and we, in exchange, give the gift of ourselves like he gave the gift of himself. Pray for me.